Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Wednesday, the 28th of May, Pope Leo reiterates once again the urgent need for peace in Ukraine and Gaza. A new missal in Ge'ez is published for Catholics in Ethiopia and Eritrea. And we hear the excitement of the largest Peruvian community outside of Peru at the election of the new pope. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. At the general audience on Wednesday, Pope Leo reiterated his appeal for peace in Ukraine and called for a ceasefire in Gaza, along with the liberation of hostages and renewed efforts to protect children. Christopher Wells tells us more.
Cessate il fuoco. Siano liberati tutti gli ostaggi. Si rispetti integralmente il diritto umanitario.
Pope Leo XIV forcefully appealed for a ceasefire now in Gaza, along with the liberation of all hostages, and that humanitarian law be fully respected. From the Gaza Strip, the Pope said, we hear rising ever more insistently to the heavens the cries of mothers and fathers who clutch the lifeless bodies of their children and who are continually forced to move about in search of a little food and water and safer shelter from bombardments. The Pope's appeal came at the Wednesday general audience just one day after almost 50 people were injured trying to receive food aid at distribution sites in Gaza. Pope Leo opened his remarks on Wednesday with an appeal for peace in Ukraine, saying his thoughts often turn to the Ukrainian people affected by new serious attacks against civilians and infrastructure. Ukraine has been subjected in recent days to onslaughts of Russian drones and missiles aimed primarily at civilian targets. I pledge my closeness and prayers for all the victims, especially children and families, the Pope said at the audience, while renewing his appeal to stop the war and to support every initiative for dialogue and peace. He invited everyone to join in prayer for peace in Ukraine and wherever people are suffering due to war. I'm Christopher Wells.
The Pontifical Ethiopian College hosted the presentation of a new edition of the Ge'ez language missal in the Vatican Gardens on Tuesday evening. Cardinal Claudio Guggerotti, prefect of the Dicastery for the Eastern Church, has praised the missal as a sign of God's loving benevolence for the Eastern Catholic Churches of Ethiopia and Eritrea. Curated under the guidance of the Vatican, the liturgical book with instructions and texts for the celebration of Mass showcases the importance of a shared liturgical text for the faithful of the Horn of Africa. Bishop Tesfaselassie Medin of the Ethiopian Catholic Eparchy of Adigrat spoke to Devin Watkins about the new Ge'ez Missal.
The Missal has to have its originality. So this has been the liturgical commission from Ethiopia and Eritrea. Oriental tradition, have been working on it for years under supervision of presidency of a bishop from bishops' conferences. Finally, the corrected original text in its entirety. This is now to make according to the bishops' conferences, pastoral needs and accommodation of reality, some texts have to be revisited. But the original has to be made as a reference for everybody and for every occasion. So the importance now is that the Holy See has assisted us to produce this, to which we are very grateful. We hope now in our formation houses, for our faithful, they have a sure original text.
Is there a hope for the churches of Ethiopia and Eritrea to find unity in this shared text?
We have no division. Our liturgy, our patrimony in liturgical history had never a division. I wish, you know, all the political hindrances that we could meet often, we could deliver, we could study, we could make further explorations and then strengthen the bond of our faith and patrimony around the liturgy. We hope with peace, a better work will be ahead of us.
That was Bishop Medine of the Ethiopian Catholic Eparchy of Adigrat. And we heard the bishop there mention the longing for peace in Ethiopia. Documenting the violence in the region, Cinzia Canneri has won the World Press Photo Award in the Africa Long-Term Projects category for Women's Bodies as Battlefields, capturing the daily horrors endured by women in Ethiopia's Tigray region. Her exhibition, open in Rome's Palazzo delle Esposizioni until the 8th of June, documents the sexual violence faced by Eritrean and Tigrayan women in conflict zones. Though the Tigray conflict has drawn little global attention, Canneri's work starkly reveals the use of sexual violence as a weapon of war. And Deborah Castellano-Lubov tells us more.
Women's human dignity continues to be trampled amid the ongoing war in Ethiopia's Tigray region, with sexual violence being used as a weapon of war. Since late 2020, the war which began in northern Ethiopia between Ethiopian Federal Forces and the Tigray People's Liberation Front has killed tens of thousands, displaced millions, triggered famine, and devastated local infrastructure. Eritrean and Tigrayan women continue to be subjected to sexual violence in conflict zones. The Rome exhibition reminds the world of countless numbers of women who bear on their skin the marks of violence that have turned their bodies into battlefields. In fact, the photographer leading the exhibit decries sexual violence is being used both systematically and for political purposes. These violations of women, she warned, risk being ignored because they are rarely investigated and generally largely underreported. Tigrayans, Reuters reports, tell of many arrests to force people into the local army, and residents say that even the elderly and pregnant women are among those rounded up. Lamentably, the exhibit's award-winning photographer suggests women also choose to enlist in the army as a form of protection because, she says, staying in villages expose them to the risk of sexual violence and crossing borders endangers their lives. Moreover, she says that institutions deny the violence, which becomes a stigma for women. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
Meanwhile, Caritas Internationalis has brought together internationally recognized economists, civil society leaders and senior Vatican officials for a town hall webinar aimed at raising awareness of the current yet silent global crisis and exploring ways to restructure financial systems in service of human rights. In an interview with Vatican Radio, Alfonso Apicella, Caritas Internationalis senior officer for the Global Advocacy Campaign, explains the goals of the webinar and how they align with the Jubilee Year of Hope.
The main motivation for a webinar is that we are halfway through the Jubilee year, end of May, and we are also celebrating the Laudato Si, the teachings coming, drawing on Laudato Si, and how that informs, in turn, our campaigning and advocacy within the Catholic community worldwide in the realm of economic justice. We have an awful lot to learn and to enact from the Laudato Si, namely what integral ecology looks like in the economic justice space and how that informs debt relief initiatives in the countries and communities where we operate in 162 countries. The webinar is also the culminating point of the Relay of Hope, which is a global initiative that we initiated on the 24th of May, ending today with more than 40 communities worldwide participating by holding a so-called Relay of Hope stage, where people light a candle and say publicly that they support the Turn Debt into Hope campaign wherever they are, and passing the candle on to others within their community, so that illustrates the power of public support that we are gathering for the Turn Debt into Hope campaign in the Confederation and beyond.
And that was Alfonso Apicella, Caritas Internationalis Senior Officer for the Global Advocacy Campaign. The largest Peruvian community outside of Peru is found in Paterson, New Jersey, in the United States, and they are overjoyed at the election of Pope Leo XIV. Monsignor Geno Silva, rector of the Cathedral of St. John the Baptist in Paterson and vicar for special projects of the Paterson Diocese, shared their joy in an interview with Vatican Radio's Deborah Castellano-Lubov. He also revealed that the community's inner-city children will soon have an artificial playing field on church grounds to be named in honor of Pope Leo.
Our Peruvian community here in Paterson was so excited when they heard that Pope Leo was elected. And again, yeah, we have the largest Peruvian diaspora in all the world here in Paterson. In fact, where the cathedral is located is right next to what we call Little Lima, Little Peru. So when Pope Leo, his election was announced, our community just went crazy. They were so excited, and people were coming to the cathedral, and we had signs up and bunting, and then the masses were crazy. So we decided, Bishop Sweeney, our bishop here in Patterson, to have celebration masses, particularly for Pope Leo, but also to kind of support and encourage and celebrate with the Peruvian community. So we had two large masses, one at 12:30 that Bishop Kevin presided at, and then 7 o'clock in the evening that I presided at. And what we did is we reached out to the leaders of the different Peruvian Catholic movements that we have here in Patterson. And for example, we have the Hermandad de los Milagros, the Lord of the Miracles. And this is an incredible movement here at the cathedral and in the city of Patterson with processions, and they're ushers at the masses. But people were just so excited. We're the community that wants to hear what he has to say. They just feel such an affinity to him that because of that affinity, they think a real receptivity and a desire to learn and be led by him.
That was Monsignor Geno Silva from Patterson, New Jersey, home to the largest Peruvian community outside Peru. And finally, during his Wednesday general audience, Pope Leo XIV continued his reflections on the parables in the Gospel, this time recalling the parable of the Good Samaritan. The parable is set on a road a man takes to travel from Jerusalem on a mountaintop to Jericho, which is at sea level. And as Kelsey Gus reports, Pope Leo likens this man's journey to life, calling it a difficult and dangerous road.
Pope Leo XIV forcefully appealed for a ceasefire now in Gaza, along with the liberation of all hostages, and that humanitarian law be fully respected. From the Gaza Strip, the Pope said, "We hear rising ever more insistently to the heavens the cries of mothers and fathers who clutch the lifeless bodies of their children and who are continually forced to move about in search of a little food and water and safer shelter from bombardments." The Pope's appeal came at the Wednesday general audience just one day after almost 50 people were...
I apologise, that was the incorrect report. We've heard that one before. And now, Kelsey Gussie on the Pope's catechesis.
In the parable, a man is beaten, robbed and left for dead, which Pope Leo said can happen to us when circumstances or people, even those we've trusted, can strip us of everything and leave us out in the open. But, the Pope points out, it is in these encounters with others that we come to know who we really are. When we encounter someone in need, we are faced with a choice, to care for them or to look the other way. Two people, a priest and a Levite, who we would imagine would stop and care for the hurt man, simply choose to ignore him, which the Pope says shows that religious practice alone does not automatically lead to compassion, because it is not a matter of religion, but one of being human.
Prima che una questione religiosa, la compassione è una questione di umanità. Prima di essere credenti, siamo chiamati...
Only a Samaritan, someone from a people traditionally despised, stops to help the wounded man in the parable. He stops, not out of a religious requirement, but because he is one human being in front of another in need. Compassion, Pope Leo stresses, takes form through concrete actions. Because to help someone, you cannot stay at a distance. To be compassionate, you have to get involved and be prepared to even get dirty, perhaps even take risks. True help means being willing to feel the weight of another's pain, the Pope underlined, and pointed out that only when we recognize that we ourselves are the wounded man in the parable can we truly feel compassion. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
And that's all we have time for today. Join us tomorrow. Bye-bye.